Hi, we here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
So this morning we are looking at establishing your heart. And I want to invite you to be a partaker of the Word and not just a consumer of the Word. Partaking of the Word means that you are actually going to switch on your brain. You're going to think for yourself this morning as well. A consumer generally just like kind of takes it in and just goes in the 1 year and goes out the other year again. But a partaker of the Word thinks about the Word, studies the Word, and meditates on the Word. So I want to invite you to be a partaker this morning. However you want to do that, whether you want to make notes on your phone, whether you want to make notes on a notepad, you're welcome to use whatever method you want. I've come to know the method of I'll remember it doesn't work that well. I'll kind of remember the whole message in my head. That doesn't work that well. And oftentimes the Holy Spirit drops an amazing word in our hearts, a word in season for us specifically, because remember, I prepared this word for us as a group. I didn't prepare the word for an individual, even though you might feel like, man, Etienne is speaking right to my heart. That is awesome and that happens, but when I prepared the word of God, I prepared for the family that is coming. I didn't prepare it for the individual, but the Holy Spirit is about the individual as well. Amen. So as He's going to drop words and messages in your heart and minister to your heart, oftentimes we kind of say like, man, that is awesome. I'm going to think about that a little bit more. I'm going to get into that a little bit more this week. And then the week comes and you're like, what was that word again? Like, I can't remember. And so I want to encourage you, invite you guys, make notes and jot those things down. So establishing your heart, the world And society teaches us different worldviews, different philosophies. It pushes us into various worldviews, but not all of these line up with the person of Jesus and what God desires for His children. The Bible, as we know it, oftentimes is referred to as the Book of Life. The Bible, the Book of Life. Now, how many people go to the Bible, but they do not come out with life? You probably know some people. There's a whole big group of people called the Jews who went to the Bible. They still have the Bible even today, and they do not come out to the Bible. We need to come out with finding Jesus in the Word. Otherwise, we're not going to find life. John chapter 5, let's get there. John chapter 5, verse 39 to 40 says, "You search the Scriptures," this is Jesus talking, "for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me," referring to the Scriptures, not referring to a person or anything like that, referring to the Scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. "They testify of me, and you will not come to me that you may find life." So many people go to the Scriptures and they try and go and find something other than Jesus. You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. You cannot have eternal life through the Scriptures, unless the Scriptures point you to Jesus. Because it's through Jesus that we have eternal life. If we go to the Scriptures for anything other than Jesus, we are wasting our time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures," talking about Scriptures again, referring to Genesis to Malachi, "which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So again, the Scriptures are able to make you wise. Wise for what? Wise for salvation that comes through who? Through Jesus Christ. We need to look at the full picture of what Timothy or Paul is encouraging Timothy here. From a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures, but have you seen that these Holy Scriptures is intended to bring you wisdom, wisdom so that you can find salvation through Jesus Christ? John chapter 1, we see many people during Jesus' ministry that messed up this whole picture, this whole idea that Jesus is found in the Scriptures. And we see Philip here, who is a Jew, and he says, Philip finds Nathanael and said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So here we see how Philip saw Jesus Christ that was revealed through the Scriptures. Because Philip knew the Scriptures, but oftentimes we see something, but we are blinded to the truth that is intended to reveal to us. And that is the purpose of the body of Christ. That's the purpose of the fivefold offices, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, the evangelist, and the apostle, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to equip the saints, to establish them in the truth of the study of the Word, so we can rightly divide the Word of truth and come to find Jesus through our Bible study. Not find wisdom, not find prosperity, but find Jesus through our Bible study. There's a big difference. Now, if you find Jesus and in your union with Him, you receive the power of God, the Spirit of God, Acts 1 verse 8, and you receive power, dunamis, ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. That's the Spirit of God inside of you, and that's the Spirit that is the power to lay hands on the sick and to see them recover. That is the Spirit of God, the gifting of God, to be able to manifest words of knowledge, prophetic words, and minister to one another. That is found in Jesus Christ, in our union with Him, the Spirit of God inside of us. But when we go to the Word of God, we can't go there to find healing. Now, there is scriptures about healing in the Word. There is ministry of healing in the Word. But we need to realize that the healer is living inside of me. The source, the power of healing is inside of me. So I don't need to find anything other than Jesus. Because if I find the goose, guess what? The golden eggs are going to follow. I don't go looking for golden eggs in the Word of God. I go looking for the goose. Because as we find Jesus, as we look to Jesus, all of those things will come as a natural byproduct because of our union with Him. I know this might seem a little bit simple, and man, Etienne, why don't we go deep this morning? We need to be established in the truth and the foundations of the Word of God, because Paul said, I forgot everything. I made it my effort to forget everything except Jesus Christ. Not Jesus Christ and you fill in the blank. I don't want to offend anyone. My ministry is not to offend people. It's quite funny that Jesus offended people. Now, so offense is it's just part of the gospel. Jesus said, you will be persecuted for your faith in me. So it's just going to happen. And ultimately speaking, all of us in this room have got different backgrounds. Cultural backgrounds, religious backgrounds, doctrinal backgrounds, all of those things. So I'm bound to offend someone this morning, but I'm praying that you will not take offense. I'm praying that you'll not take offense, that you'll open up your heart, get into the Word. If you hear something, I'm not going to jump ahead. If we go to the Bible, the Word of life, we need to be looking for Jesus, the resurrected King, because in that is life. We find Christ, we find life. Now, I don't know if you guys know the Where's Wally books. Anyone know the Where's Wally books? Okay, cool. There's some older folk in the room. The youngsters would probably not know Where's Wally, or what Wally is or whatnot. You guys can put up the picture on the screen there for me, Godwill, if for those who do not know who Wally is and what he looks like. There we go. Oh, that's a bit so that's his face. But if you've seen that's his face, and he normally wears a beanie and he wears a sweater that's got white and red stripes. And so the concept is, there's always these big pictures with a bunch of different people and folk on there, and it's a specific setting, whether it's at the beach or a carnival, and you have to go find Wally, but it's very busy. It's a very busy screen. Now, the thing is, if you thought Wally was an elephant dressed in a sweater, and you go into that picture looking for an elephant dressed in a sweater, how long are you going to be looking for that elephant dressed in a sweater? You're going to be looking all of your life. You're going to be frustrated because you're not going to find that elephant with that sweater. Now, if you go to the Word of God and you look for anything other than Jesus Christ, what He came to do for us, what He came to fulfill for us, the Spirit of God poured out upon all men, you're going to be frustrated. Now we can pack up and go from there. Because that's the message of the Bible. That is what we need to establish our hearts in, because that is where life starts, that is where life grows from, and that's where life ends. It's through Jesus Christ. It's in Him. We need to establish our hearts in one thing, Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Colossians 2, verse 6 to 8. It says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." That is powerful. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, how did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Did you receive Him by going to church 100 times and then you were worthy to receive Him? Did you receive Him by reading through your Bible and then you were worthy to receive Him? How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says that by grace are you saved through faith, and it's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we receive Christ Jesus the Lord by grace through faith. Grace is God's gift to you, freely getting what you don't deserve. That is a gift. Freely getting what you don't deserve, that is God's grace. And faith is a proper response to that. And by the way, every person on the face of the earth is born with faith. Faith is free will, putting your faith in something. If there's a Muslim in this room, if you know Muslim outside of this room, Hindu, whatever, they have put their faith in something. They have misused the gift of faith that every person on the face of the earth is born with. But when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that faith becomes infused with supernatural power. That is why there's a gift of faith through the Holy Spirit as well, to do the supernatural works of God here on earth. That's another topic. But we need to put our faith, as we receive Christ Jesus by grace through faith, so we need to continue to walk in Him by grace through faith. We don't come to Christ by grace through faith and then we start earning it by works. Then we start maturing by works, by performance, by legalism. If someone came into this church a drunkard, smelling of alcohol, and they receive Christ, and they come to church again next week smelling of alcohol, it doesn't change their salvation. It doesn't change the way we should be responding to them. Because as they receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so we need to, as the body of Christ, also continue to demonstrate to them grace, love. And as we do that, as they see the love of God, Paul writes about this, that it's the gospel of God that is the power that leads people to repentance. The gospel is the power of God that leads people to repentance. In Romans 2 verse 4 it says that it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. The gospel is the goodness of God. It's the grace of God. And that changes hearts. The love of God changes hearts. The goodness of God changes hearts. That is what we need to show to people, demonstrate to people. But we can only do that as we've received it. And as we are established in it. Rooted and built up in Him. Established in the faith. There's this continual picture of establishing, of rooting. And this isn't something that God does, by the way, guys. When you receive Christ, you are sealed with His Holy Spirit. But we as individuals have got the free will to grow in the things of God. You've got the free will. Each one of you had free will whether you wanted to come to receive the Word this morning. I'm pretty sure no one was forced to be here this morning. Maybe you've got a friend. Janeska brought some friends this morning. I don't know if you guys were forced this morning. I see some nods there. So we love you guys. And hopefully you'll come back because you've experienced some good things here. So we've got free will to choose being rooted, being built up in Him, being established in the faith. As you've been taught, there's teaching needing to establish us in the faith. That is what the gathering this morning is about, is the teaching of the Word. We don't just kind of share one scripture. We're going to share many scriptures this morning, and we'll always share many scriptures and passages from the Word of God, because we need to take the Word of God, because that is where we find teaching. We don't find the teaching through Etienne telling an amazing story this morning. Through Etienne kind of taking one scripture and then telling a 30-40 minute story on that one scripture. We are established through the Word. Faith comes by hearing what? Not good stories. Faith comes by not watching an amazing movie. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 verse 17. Continual hearing of the word. That is how we establish something. As a callus is formed on one's fingers, as a candle is formed through waxing, continual waxing, so we need to establish ourselves in the truth of the word continually, consistently. Beware. So there's an importance here. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men. Now there are some traditions in the church of God that we hold dear to as well. We need to ask ourselves, are we holding on to traditions of men? Traditions of men generally, and it says here, after rudiments of this world, traditions of men, rudiments of the world, will generally draw people away from Christ. Anything that is drawing you away from focusing on Jesus Christ, the glory of God manifested through the death, the resurrection of Jesus, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If anything draws you away from the fulfillment, the greatest promise of all time, the Holy Spirit living inside of man, if anything pulls you away from that truth and that reality, let it go. And I'm not telling you what to do, I'm inviting you to do it. Because guess what you're going to experience when you let it go? You're going to experience freedom. You're going to experience growth. You're going to experience maturing. But it's going to require some humility to let those things go. Because oftentimes, we've done things for all of our life. And it's difficult to let go of things that you've done all of your life, right? And that your grandfather has done all of his life. And that his grandfather did all of his life, etc., etc., etc. But this is where the devil comes to steal from us, is with the traditions of men. Hebrews 13 verse 8 to 10 from the Amplified Classic says, Jesus Christ the Messiah is always the same, yesterday, today, yes, and forever, to all of the ages. Now the phrase here, yesterday, today, and forever in the Aramaic can be translated, Jesus the Messiah is the fulfillment of yesterday, today, and forever. This is beautiful. I like that phrase because it's illustrating this picture that firstly, Christ has always been there from the beginning of time. We had this discussion at Mana Care on Friday morning. That Jesus didn't just appear onto the scene when He was born, when Mary gave birth to Him. Jesus has always been there, part of the Trinity from the beginning of time. Jesus has always been there, and this is beautiful. Jesus is the fulfillment of yesterday, today, and forever, meaning that, and this is beautiful. Last week we looked at this. Jesus and what we celebrated at Passover, the Spirit of God living in man, is the promise that God made to man, to Abraham, to all of these guys. And they believed unto that promise that was coming in the future. So Jesus has always, again, been the fulfillment of the promise. From the beginning of time, that was the promise of God. And now we are living in the fulfillment of the promise. We're not waiting for the promise. We're living in the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus living inside of man. Verse 9, do not be carried about by different and varied and alien teachings, for it is good that the heart be established, ennobled, and strengthened by means of grace, God's favor and supernatural blessing, and not to be devoted to foods, rules of diet, and ritualistic meals, which brings no spiritual benefit or profit to those who observe them. We have an altar from which those who serve and worship in the tabernacle have no right to eat. Now this is beautiful, and if you didn't know that Hebrews was written to the Hebrews, to a Jewish mindset, so to speak. And so there's a lot of phrases and terminology that comes up here that we often don't understand because we didn't get brought up in a Jewish mindset. But oftentimes there's a lot of Jewish traditions that have entered into the Christian church. Surprise! We're not going to get into what those things are this morning, but it's important here that it says that the heart be established, ennobled, and strengthened by means of grace, and not foods, rules of diet, and ritualistic meals, which bring no spiritual benefit or profit to those who observe them. We have an altar from which those who serve and worship the tabernacle have no right to eat. Because it's only by faith that we can please God. It's only by faith responding to His grace that we can live pleasing to God. And this is super important. It's only when we are established in grace. What does it mean to be established in grace? Grace isn't a topic. We'll never have a topic or a theme of grace in this church. Why? Because everything is about the grace of God. Everything that we do is about the grace of God, the goodness of God, and all we need to do is by faith respond to these things. Our hearts need to be established in the grace of God. What does that mean? It's the picture of the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. That is the grace of God. The grace of God is a picture. It's the character of God demonstrated, manifested through the Son of Jesus Christ, His death, His resurrection, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now God living in man. That is what we need to be strengthened and established in. Let go of all of the other things that do not point to the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. Ritualistic meals, traditions of men, all of these things, because there's no benefit in them, there's no profit in them. Jesus is ushered in a new way. A new way. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 17 to 18 says, or verse 16, speaking of this as he does in all of his letters, there are some things in those epistles of Paul. So Peter's writing about Paul, about his letter, and he says, there's some things in those epistles of Paul that are difficult to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist and misconstrue to their own utter destruction, just as they distort and misinterpret the rest of the Scriptures. Again, what is the Scriptures for? What did Jesus use the Scriptures for? To point to Himself. What did Jesus use the law for? To point to Himself. What did Jesus use the prophetic books for? To point to Himself. If we don't realize that the purpose of the Scriptures, that the purpose of the Bible is to reveal Jesus Christ, the story of God, and all that was pointing to the coming Messiah, Jesus' ministry was ushering in and demonstrating through God in the flesh, the Word of God made manifest. He was demonstrating the nature and the character of God, but He was ushering in the fulfillment. Because it's only when He died, when He was resurrected, and the outpouring of the Spirit, that the promise of God has come to a completion, to a fulfillment. Now that is what the Bible is for. We need to understand how we study the Word of God. What do we see from the old? What do we see through the Gospels? What do we see through the epistles? Because it's Peter's writing, and he says that there's some things that are difficult to understand. Because it will be difficult to understand if you do not go there with the intent to find Jesus Christ the Messiah and the fulfillment of God through His death, resurrection, and His outpouring, so that we can be united with God Almighty, be in unbroken fellowship with Him. So maybe the Word of God is difficult for you to understand today. I want to ask you the question, what have you used the Scriptures for? What have you used the Bible for? What are you trying to get from the Bible when you go to the Bible? Are you looking for some encouragement? Are you looking for something about healing? Are you looking for some relationship advice? Now you can get good stuff about those topics in the Bible. But ultimately what you need to get, what you need to establish your heart in, is how one you are with God Almighty, the resurrected King living inside of you. Because it's through that oneness coming to understand that. That is Paul's prayer. In Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 16, he prays not for people to come to... We shouldn't just see what the writer is saying. We should also see what the writer is not saying. Paul writes for understanding knowledge in the truth of what? Jesus Christ and our union with Him. Let's start praying for a deeper understanding of Jesus Christ and our union with Him, the Spirit of God inside of us, because it's through that you're going to see fruitfulness. It's through that you're going to walk in freedom. And he says, verse 17, let me warn you therefore, beloved, that knowing these things beforehand, you should be on your guard, lest you be carried away by error of lawless and wicked persons, that fall from your own present firm condition, your own steadfastness of mind, but grow in grace, undeserved favor, spiritual strength, and recognition and knowledge and understanding of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. To Him be glory, honor, majesty, splendor, both now and to the end of eternity. Amen, so be it. Now I want to ask you a question. What are you doing to grow in grace? What are you currently doing with your life? What have you purposed in your life? What are you being intentional about so that you can grow in grace? Because this is an invitation from Peter to grow in grace, to grow in recognizing and having knowledge and understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like I've said, and I'm going to repeat because repetition is good. Amen. We need to hear things over and over and over again before we get it. Because it takes some time often for knowledge to go from the head into the heart. And we don't want knowledge to just stay stuck in your heart. We don't want the Word of God to just be intellectual for you. We want the Word of God to go from your head to your heart so that you can recognize the truth and be transformed by it. Because we don't want your learning to lead to knowledge. We want your learning to lead to action, to transformation. And that only happens as we partake of it with humility and we plant it into our hearts. There's a warning. Why would Peter warn the guys? Why would he warn them? Because there's going to be opportunity until Jesus comes back again to be carried about with diverse and strange teachings. To be carried about with different things. In Hebrews 13 verse 9, the scripture, the King James writes about strange and different teachings. Now let me put it like this. Strange and different doesn't mean something you haven't heard before. Because how many of you thought that grace was strange when you heard it the first time? Anyone? Some of you just thought that, wow, like, yeah, that was like always there, like, oh, duh. No, some of us actually didn't know it was always there, me included. And it was strange. It was like, this is heresy. This is ridiculous. Like, surely we need to confess our sins. Surely we need to be good people in order for God to love us. So just because we haven't heard something before doesn't make it strange. What makes it strange? Verse 8 in Hebrews 13, it makes it strange if it's not about Jesus Christ. So as long as it is about Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God living in man, it isn't strange. It might be new to you, but it's not strange. And if you are willing to embrace new, if you are willing to embrace new information about the fulfillment of Jesus Christ, man, are you going to grow? But your traditions and the traditions of your fathers and your mothers and your grandparents might just want to prevent you from embracing the new. Because it's comfortable to stay stuck in something we know, right? It's comfortable. We don't like rocking the boat. We just would like smooth sailing. I want my boat rocked daily if it's going to mean me knowing Christ more clearly. Because I know when I know Christ more clearly, if I see Him fuller and more with clearer eyes, with a deeper understanding, I know that there's going to be more fruitfulness in my life personally, in my marriage, my child raising, and in our church. Grow in grace. What are you doing to grow in your knowledge and understanding of Jesus? These things do not come by default. It doesn't happen by accident. Growing in grace, growing in understanding doesn't happen by accident, guys. If you haven't realized this already. So I'm asking you, think about this quickly. What are you doing? What are you purposing in your life to grow in grace, to grow in understanding, knowledge of Jesus Christ? There's a lot of things that we do as a ministry that we make available as a ministry. But not everyone partakes of that. Because some people are still growing and enjoying the consumer lifestyle of Christianity. And that's fine. We love you as a consumer. God loves you as a consumer. But you won't grow as a consumer. Now, do you want to grow? Or do you just want to go to heaven one day? Because it's fine. Like, it's awesome. Heaven's going to be amazing, right? But how about manifesting and experiencing glimpses of heaven here on earth? But that comes through growth. That comes through intentionality. That comes through being purposeful about growing in grace and understanding and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our hearts. As the wisest man on the face of the earth at a specific point in time once said, Proverbs 4 verse 23, King Solomon, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the issues of life. Keep your heart with all vigilance. The Passion Translation says it like this. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. The easy-to-read version says it like this, and then we'll carry on reading until verse 27. Above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. Don't bend the truth or say things that you know are not right. Keep your eyes on the path and look straight ahead. Make sure you are going the right way and nothing will make you fall. Don't go to the right or to the left, and you will stay away from evil. How beautiful is this? How beautiful is it to read these verses and see them again as directions to be focused on Christ? Be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. If you think on Jesus, if you think on your union with Him, man, is your life going to be a spring of life? Man, is there going to be overflow in your life? When we go to Proverbs, we don't look for wisdom. We look for Jesus, and we see the fulfillment of Christ inside of the believer. Christ has become our wisdom, and as we focus in on that, we've got all of the wisdom in the world. Don't bend the truth. Again, don't bend the truth about Jesus Christ, what He came to do for us. Jesus said that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. Keep your eyes on the path. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and life. Keep your eyes on Me. Don't focus on anything else. Set your heart, set your affection on things above. We just looked at that, Colossians chapter 3. Because as we do that, we cannot go astray. You cannot be focused on running the 100-meter dash effectively and purposefully while you're looking backwards. Usain Bolt can look a little bit like more backwards than most other guys because he's just fast. But we can't be effective in running this race that is set before us by looking in all kinds of different directions. We need to set our hearts on this truth. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is the one whom Timothy, Silas, and I have preached to you. Why did they preach to the people? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They didn't preach anything else. Again, don't just listen to what is said. Listen to what isn't said. And He has been never been both a yes and a no. He has always been and always will be for us a resounding yes. For all of God's promises find the yes of fulfillment in Him. That's beautiful. The promises of God has been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Because that is the promise of God of all promises. It's Christ in you. That's the mystery that's been concealed. The mystery that's been revealed is Christ in you. Each one of us, the Spirit of God inside of us. Now maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're like, theoretically that's pretty cool. This isn't a theory, guys. This isn't a doctrine. This isn't a fancy spiritual talk. This is the power of God. This is the will of God that has been revealed. God Almighty, the Creator of the world, has always willed for His Spirit to dwell in man. Now if you're ignorant of that, if you're prideful to come to acknowledge that, if your heart is hardened by various things, different things can harden your heart, this will just be a nice talk this morning. I pray that this isn't a nice talk for you. I pray that this isn't just something that gives you a goosebump this morning. I pray that your heart will be so shaken by this word that you will not be able to rehearse and go over these scriptures over and over again as you go into the rest of your week. Because the Word of God is alive, it's active, it's powerful. But our hearts are often so bitter, so hardened towards the truth of the words, and it does us deadly squat. I pray that that's not the case for you this morning. I pray that your hearts and your eyes will be illuminated to the truth of the Word of God and His Spirit inside of you. In our union with Christ, He knows we are His, since He has also stamped His seal of love over our hearts, and He's given us the Holy Spirit like an engagement ring, is given to a bride, a down payment of the blessings to come. There's still a lot of things that we're going to experience in eternity in heaven. Firstly, our bodies are going to be perfectly restored. Our minds are going to be completely wiped. You'll never have a sinful thought again in your life. Those are still promises to come. But the promise we can experience right now is the Spirit of God inside of us. And this is beautiful. The Holy Spirit is our seal. I like how the Passion paints this picture of an engagement ring. It's a promise to you. Word of promise. This picture of seal, throughout the Bible, seal, this picture is used in different phrases and different forms. And I just want to elaborate on this quickly. the seal of love. It's a seal of security. We are sealed tightly and kept secure in God's love. Nothing can come and rob you from His love. No stupid that you ever do can take God's love away from you. We are sealed with authentication. We are authentic. We are His very own. We have been certified genuine, authentic, not made in China. I've got nothing against China. Like, I'm not going to go into politics right now this morning. China needs to hear the gospel, guys. The world needs to hear the gospel. The world doesn't need to have better politicians or better leaders in government. We pray for leaders in government because that's a system that we currently have. But the leaders in government need to realize who they are in Christ. They need to hear the gospel so that the world can be changed, because it's the gospel that changes the world. Not better government, not better systems, not more rules, not more regulations. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes hearts. That's the only thing that can change hearts. Nothing else can change a person's heart but the gospel, the love of God. And that is what we need to see in this world. The seal is a seal of approval, of ownership. We are God's ownership. We are His children. He's purchased us with the blood of Jesus Christ. And then, obviously, a seal of righteousness. We have been sealed with righteousness. We've been made the righteousness of God. Now, let's go to John chapter 4 quickly. John chapter 4, and this is beautiful. It points the Samaritan woman to, again, like I said, in as we go to the Word, as we go to the Gospels, it's so beautiful when you've realized the Holy Spirit of God inside of man is the fulfillment of the promise, and that He is the reality. As Colossians 1 talks about, there were many shadows pointing to Christ, but Christ is the reality. And once we've come to know Christ, the reality, it's so easy to identify the shadows. You cannot but see the shadows, see the fulfillment of the promise. And Jesus ushered this in, and it comes out so beautifully in John chapter 4 as He ministers to the Samaritan woman. We're going to look at verse 12 to 14 and then jump down to verse 20. I'm not going to get into the whole conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. In verse 12, and it says, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" So the Samaritan woman responds to Jesus' question about drawing water for him, and His statement about He'll give her streams of living water. "And are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Now, that statement in and of itself might seem pretty unprofound. Let's read past this quickly and get to the meat of this passage. This statement is a statement of, I'm going to share it with you guys, because that's my purpose this morning, is to teach you the Word, right? So I'm not here to confuse you about the Word. Praise God. This question, this statement, the response is a response of tradition. What does Jesus say? Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again." What is the context? He's talking about traditions. If you're going to live by these traditions, if you're going to live by these shadows, you'll thirst again. Your thirst will never be quenched. The shadows can't quench our thirst. "But whosoever," verse 14, "drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The Spirit of God is our well. That is the promise, the fulfillment. The Spirit of God living inside of man. We do not need to partake of anything other again in our lives when we receive the Spirit of God inside of us. Let go of all traditions. Focus on your reality, your union with the Spirit of God inside of us, and you will never thirst again. Jump down to verse 20. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and yet you say, that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto a woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Now, what that scripture is not saying is that salvation is just for the Jews. Yes, so by the way. Now, what are you thinking? What could that scripture then be saying? If you rightly divide the word of truth, you would know that salvation came through the Jews, because Jesus was born through the Jews. Great stuff. I'm glad I clarified that up for you guys. Let's move on. And it says, verse 23, "But the hour comes and is now year when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Again, if you don't know Christ and what He's came to fulfill for us, and how is the promise, we will worship the shadows. You'll continue with your traditions if you do not know the fulfillment of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the greatest promise of all time, that Abraham, way back, was justified by faith because he looked to the promise. The promise wasn't Isaac. The promise wasn't to have a lot of sheep. The promise that he held to, that he looked forward to, was the promise of the Spirit and God, the Spirit of God dwelling in man. That is powerful. That changes everything. Now we need to ask ourselves this question continually. And this is why we need to be established in this truth. We need to be established in grace. And grace, like I said, it's not a topic. It's not a someone's name. It's not a theme. It is the person of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the promise of God. And by faith, we receive that promise. By faith, we receive and be united with God Almighty. Our old nature has been crucified. It's been killed on the cross. We've got a new nature, the Spirit of God living inside of us. Now, are we going to stop worshiping the shadows? You need to ask yourself the question, what traditions are you holding on to? As this woman at Samaria responded, but my grandfather or our forefather Jacob built us this well, and all of his family drank from this well, and everyone else is doing it like this. Why don't we just embrace the fullness of Jesus Christ, the perfection of the reality? Let's go off the shadows. Let's drop these things so we can embrace the fullness of God and start seeing the manifestation of power as God intended for us to walk here in on earth. I'm going to ask you the question in closing. What can you do to establish your heart more in the reality of Christ and His grace? Now, like I said, as a church, we've got many things that you can partake of. But it's an invitation to you. We've got an awesome new discipleship course. I want to encourage you guys to get hold of that. If you don't know where to get hold of it, you can just go to the resource table. They'll send you the link. Weekly new lessons are being updated. But discipleship is a vital component to us being established in the truth of who Christ is. Christ is in us. The message of the Word of God. Just this last week, actually, the lesson was all about the message of the Bible. What is the message of the Bible? Very much about what we're talking about this morning. What is the message of the Bible? Because if we go to the Bible to find anything other than Jesus Christ, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time. And time is not to be wasted. Because people are dying. People are dying not knowing Jesus Christ. People are dying living in the shadows of Jesus Christ. Let's be partakers and establish our hearts, our minds in the truth of the Word. So that when we share Jesus with people, we share undiluted Jesus. We share pure Jesus. We don't share Jesus with a bunch of additives. We don't share Jesus with, okay, now you get born again. Okay, now your next step is this. And then your next step is this. And your next step is this. That sounds contrary to you receive the Spirit of God. You are one with Him. You've got the power of God. Now go and be fruitful. I've been into the Next Steps ministry. As a ministry, we've been there. But we are, if you haven't picked up things yet, and if you're new with us, stick around with us because there's some good things coming. We're moving away from the Next Steps ministry. We're moving to the ministry of the fulfillment of Jesus Christ in the believer. The seal of the Spirit of God on the believer. No more shadows. Only Jesus. Because it's in that purity of Jesus and us coming to understand that our communities will be changed, this province will be changed, this country will be changed, and this world will be changed.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.